Hi folks, welcome back to On Call with Insignia, where we go on call with leaders innovating the future of Southeast Asia's internet and digital economy, or as we like to call it, ASEAN Innovation. I'm your host, Paolo Hokinyo. And in this call, we're back with another leader from Indonesia's leading logistics first e-commerce enabler, Shipper. In past episodes, our listeners may recall, you know, we've had the pleasure of going on call with Phil, the CEO of Shipper, then Budi, COO. Most recently in season 4, you had on CTO Marvin and the VP of engineering, Agus. Now we're introducing, you know, a retail supply chain commerce veteran who has just joined Shipper in the past few months and has taken up the helm of Chief Customer Officer, none other than Craig Wheeler. Before you go on call, be sure to give us a follow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast platforms, and stay tuned for our latest insights on our Twitter at InsigniaVC and Instagram at Insignia_VC. Now let's get into the call. Craig, thanks for coming on call. How are you doing?
Delighted. Really well. Just flown back in from Thailand. So it's busy times, lots to do in these post-COVID era.
Travel is opening up and you're definitely making the most out of it. A little bit on Craig before we move on, you know, so prior to Shipper, Craig was a group VP of digital and omnichannel at leading Indonesia omnichannel retailer, Kanmo Group. Prior to Indonesia, Craig has had more than 20 years, two decades career as operations director in multiple global companies, enabling retail, supply chain, distribution, and e-commerce, including Rakuten Europe, QVC, Matrox. His experience has made him an expert in delivering digital organizational operational change within various organizations. And through that, he has helped many SME and startup organizations with that, including now Shipper. And through Shipper, many more thousands of SMEs that Shipper is enabling. So we're definitely going to talk all about that, you know, get to know what he's bringing to the table for Shipper, his own views on Shipper's growth trajectory, which we talked about many times, but it's great to have, you know, another perspective on that. And then obviously also the Indonesian e-commerce market, which has continued to see growth in spite of the pandemic, in spite of the current global inflation as well, and would also love to hear more about your approach to leadership as well on this call. So to kick things off, since you've just joined Shipper a few months ago, we'd love to know, having come from Kanmo Group prior to that, and then even before that, you were working mostly in Europe and the US. What were you doing prior to Shipper, and then how did you eventually decide to join? Like, what attracted you to this company in particular?
As you say, I've had over 25 years in supply chain, e-commerce, and digital experience, and that particularly is the digital environment grew. I've gone from mainframes through PCs, through laptops, into the world of e-commerce. My first website back in 1997, so been around the e-commerce side for an incredibly long time. Been lucky enough to manage that across multiple countries, multiple industries, many cultures, working in offices throughout Europe and the US, and also managed to celebrate that selling to over 120 countries. So it wasn't the first time when I moved here that I'd sold into Indonesia, have sold e-commerce products from cross-border into Indonesia before, but certainly Indonesia offers a few barriers in doing that, so very glad to come here. So as you mentioned, I moved across to Kanmo a few years back now, and the reason for moving to Indonesia was just the speed of the economy out in this part of the world. So I saw two things coming in. One, change and speed was high here. I think in Europe, things have slowed down a little bit, and I enjoy being in that exciting journey of a lot of things happening and happening very quick. But also Kanmo and retailers in this region offer a different type of experience because they run multiple brands. You have many different customers, from not just the customer side, but also from the brand side. So it gave a good opportunity to see it and move to very different markets. So reason for choosing Shipper and following that is that I'd spoken to Shipper for quite a long time as a customer. 1 week into joining Kanmo, I had a meeting with Shipper and I was signing the contract for using Shipper. So at that stage, I didn't know who Shipper were, and I thought it was just a Shipper. I realized that actually it's a business that's offering us a carrier aggregator opportunity, which is pretty unique in Indonesia. I probably chased Shipper then for months before joining. I think I first wrote to Parbudi back in July 2021 saying, hey, I can see what you guys are doing. It's quite exciting and maybe it's the right next move for me. And that was based on the business seems to have a vision that fits. It has great values. It's definitely already customer centric, but I could also see the opportunity within the space, both the digital space and the supply chain space. It felt that Indonesia hasn't maximized or optimized what's possible in this space. And having shipped my first product out of a warehouse nearly 30 years ago, gave me the idea that I could come in and help transform that space and fit into a space that's probably often forgotten about in Indonesia, because a lot of entrepreneurs, there's a lot of shop owners, there's a lot of business leaders, but they often don't think about what they consider the more boring bits, which is how do we get product to the right people, offer that customer experience and really drive what can be delivered to the customer. And it will become a game changer. Today, it might not yet be, but it will become the game changer. So I felt that Shipper was there. They were already doing a lot of this. But I felt in talking, especially when I've talked across a group of people, similar list to what you've just given us that you've already interviewed, really there's a huge opportunity for me to bring my learnings, especially my learnings of the things that have worked badly and we don't make those mistakes. But to bring that focus into supply chain, especially a digitally enabled supply chain, within a country of this scale, with so many people, such a large landmass, was a really exciting chance to deliver something quite special. And I think we're on that journey.
There's something that I usually write about, and it's how a lot of these startups, they try to hire their customers. And I think literally that happened in your case, having first encountered Shipper as a potential, you know, partner vendor for Calmo, and then eventually joining the company now as chief customer officer. And this role in particular is not something that you see very often. And I think mainly because being customer centric is something that should be embraced by, you know, everybody in the organization. But maybe for those who aren't so familiar, right, especially within the context of Shipper, as you mentioned, driving digitally enabled logistics, like what does it mean for you to be a chief customer officer?
Our core value in the business is always start with a customer. And when I was talking to the team about how I came in and what I came in to do, we talked about really starting that primary value. And that's how the title came around. It was one that kind of just was born out of that. So the core elements of the role are to lead the commercial team, lead the marketing team, and drive our services across the whole business. So taking that customer feedback, being customer centric in everything we do, and really bring a special focus to listening to the customer and building the solution rather than going, here is a solution, take it. We're much more inclined as a business to go, okay, what is it you're looking to do? How do you need to grow? How is the economy changing? And obviously the last couple of years, it's changed a lot through social commerce, e-commerce growth, and making sure that we deliver what customers are after. So the role in this core essence is leading the commercial element, but with a special focus, and we've changed our structure a little bit to suit that, of really being service-centric. So what are the services we should offer? What does the customer want, and how can we deliver that effectively and where possible digitally? So it becomes a little bit easier to follow paper trails. When you're moving boxes around the country, you can often get lost in very basic solutions. And what we're certainly trying to make sure is we're always digitally enabled and really giving easy to use, clean, powerful solutions to our customers.
Mm-hmm. It's really exciting to see that Shipper is taking that to the next level with your role as Chief Customer Officer. And I'd like to dig a little bit deeper into your past experiences in retail and e-commerce across US, Europe, and you mentioned also you were already doing a lot of these like cross-border global transactions with Indonesia included. How have those experiences impacted the way that you're approaching your work in Shipper now?
The biggest difference between the two markets is that within Europe, what we see is a customer experience-led market. So if you go back 15, 20 years ago, it was very much, let's do the basics, let's do them right, let's make sure we have good, sustainable logistics solutions, let's make sure we answer a telephone or answer an email or answer a chat. But where the market has changed is there's a lot of good players in the market, there's a lot of great brands, and customer experience has become the change. And the way to empower a lot of that customer experience is, of course, last mile delivery, how quickly you get product, how well it's packaged, how well it's tracked, the whole element of supply chain, making sure and empowering that. Whereas here, what we've seen is a lot has been based on speed, making things fast, making things great, be value driven, and focus more on the economy of things. I think that change will come here. So probably the biggest thing, again, it touches on that customer title, which is how do we make customer experience a differentiator through supply chain instead of at the moment. Probably everybody thinks it's just been delivered by a courier. It doesn't matter which courier it is. It doesn't matter if you buy it on a marketplace like Tokopedia or a brand's own website like Mothercare or Nespresso, some more they used to look after. There's not that differentiation. And I think the customer experience will become the playground as things develop. And that's something that you already see. I think Indonesian customers are already quite demanding. I think we will find that demand of expectation of what comes, especially as now e-commerce, social commerce has grown a lot through COVID. We're already starting to see people ask, you know, can I return products? And why is it easy to return products? Why do I not get everything delivered from a warehouse that's close to my house if I'm in a tier 2 or tier 3 city? Why am I having it delivered to me out of a warehouse in Jakarta? That's more expensive. It costs more money. Surely it's not right to do that. We're starting to see it. And I think that change will come. And that's where a lot of the best practice can come from Europe. That's anywhere they've been focused.
So you're definitely seeing the e-commerce customer and also the industry in general is maturing. Definitely that's where the learnings can come in. But at the same time, are there things that you have to sort of unlearn coming from Europe or coming from the US that this might not actually work here in Indonesia? Anything that's uniquely Indonesian with how you've seen the e-commerce market mature here?
The biggest thing is speed. I mean, speed of delivery. Instant delivery is clearly an absolute key definer in this market. Whereas in Europe, you know, next day, 2 days, 3 days, as long as you know what it is, it's fine as long as it gets delivered. Okay, but here I think there's an instant requirement. Why can't I have it now? And ability to deliver that and deliver that continuously well, even into late hours, something that Indonesia is really ahead of. So that's definitely one of the key things here. Unlearning then is also the big thing in Europe is digitalize everything and put machines in everywhere because labor costs are so high. Labor costs are at the lower economic cost here. And that means that we can do things simpler. So often digital technology doesn't make things easy. Often digitalization makes things actually more complex, harder to deliver, but it's been a requirement even because there wasn't a sufficient labor force or a sufficiently trained labor force. Whereas here, actually, there are lots of good people, they're available, and you use manual processes. I ran a warehouse a few years ago that delivered around 500,000 orders every day. And that warehouse, to make that really run, I ran over 70% of the volume through a manual pick in Europe. So because it actually often compared machine, robot picking, auto sortation, and actually the people were picking quicker than any machine could pick, and their ability to recognize products, make decisions, reverse all the automations was quicker. So automation is good, and we obviously have a lot of automation within our business, but we automate to a point where it's efficient and not beyond it where it starts making life complex.
I think also the automation technology itself, I guess, hasn't reached that point where the efficiency is worth the cost, both in getting the technology and the other costs that you incur from using it. A follow-up question to that is, how do you see sort of this uniquely, I'd say, like simpler and perhaps a little bit more labor-driven logistics operation long-term for Indonesia? Do you see it becoming more sort of a mainstay in the market, or do you see this changing long-term?
I think there's different areas, isn't there? So if you're talking about enterprise clients, you know, we have some very large clients in our group, businesses like Cameron that I came from or Matahari that we look after. But organizations with that scale, automation clearly has a long-term benefit because there's hugely long tails of products. You could be talking 100,000 different products in a warehouse. If you barcode products improperly with automation, you absolutely can drive some efficiencies and drive 24-hour work, which again, you know, not everybody wants to work 24 hours a day. So you can gain some real benefits to that. But you'll need high-quality warehouses that are, you know, incredibly high quality. Every floor has to be perfectly flat. The temperatures need to be temperature balanced in such a way because technology is a little bit fussy to the temperature. It doesn't really like the heat out here. But I think when you talk about a big part of our market, so the small merchants, the MSMEs, the mainstay of the Indonesian economy, and a key part of what we believe in supporting, the best way is the most efficient, easy, simple way to deliver. So I don't think we can get away from seeing manual processes, small, efficient warehouses with skilled people who learn the products that they're handling and find efficient, quick ways of doing it. It's easier and higher quality to wrap a product, for example, at a dispatch stage by hand than it is to do it by a machine, which tends to want to leave fills, empty space in because you can't have every size. So I think that it's here to stay. I think there'll be a balance. I think we'll see the big enterprise customers become more and more automated over the next 5 years. But for the core 70 million SMEs in Indonesia, I think we'll find that more manual solutions will be here for quite some time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like more than 90% of the Indonesian economy. So it's still definitely a huge market to tackle for sure. For these long tail sellers, what does it mean then to digitally enable them if the more efficient way may turn out to be more offline than online?
I think that there's a whole range of things from enabling them to sell on marketplaces. We have some digital technology to help in that. It's utilizing information we get and the power of BI and learning. So often that small seller is too busy choosing his next product or what his next promotion is with Shopee. But what you can do is you create the intelligence underneath. You can help make sure you drive the efficiencies. Seller store ratings on marketplaces are really important. Make sure that everything gets shipped on time and in the right way. You can help them find the cheapest and most efficient way to ship their products. So through our shipping aggregation tool, we're going to be able to allow you to choose ratio recommended by shipper, which will allow you to choose, is it a certain delivery time you're after? Do you want the cheapest route to market? Or actually, do you want the best quality delivery to buy? Do you want to choose that delivery company that hit 100% delivery level in that area, or that one that delivers at 98%? Sadly, the delivery market isn't perfect yet. So I think there's a lot of things we can do around the information we have, the power we have, this view, and the automation. It being able to ship via three different shippers, being able to hold your product in a shared warehouse that gives you efficiencies as scale that's then digitally controlled, and allowing you access to all of that information to make decisions and making it easy is definitely a key part of what we look to do.
Really two key points from what you've mentioned, really the flexibility plus the data that you amass from all these customers that enables that flexibility, and things like co-warehousing that makes it a lot easier for these sellers to just focus more on the products that they're selling. So given this SME that you're enabling plus the enterprise customers that you have, what do you think are the factors from your perspective that have helped and continue to help Shipper to, you know, balance, adjust and adapt to these different types of customer profiles that they serve?
I think the number one thing is listening and learning. We as a business have always collaborated with our partners. So we have a huge range of partners. We spend a lot of time talking to them, a lot of time listening to them, and taking that approach of collaborating with them. And then also collaborating with the service partners we work with. So whether that be the carriers, whether that be packaging companies, whether that be warehouse landlords or technology enablers, we sit in a nice pivot point that we enable the small guy to talk to all the big guys with a little bit more power. And that will increase, we grow out our e-commerce enablement features. So we'll talk to Shopee for these guys, we'll talk to Tokopedia for these guys. We'll help them have a little bit more power and also help them engage with that through it. So I think that it's a constant listening and learning. With our bigger customers, it's very much a partnership. So I mentioned that to Ari earlier, and we're a partner every time that they're thinking about solution. We're talking to them about opportunities and they're talking to us about requirement. And it's a very harmonious relationship. I think if you've got a business that keeps its founders involved, and we talk about Parbody, he's very much involved in talking to our customers still on a regular basis. And when your founders are still involved in your business, they still understand what's going on. They still have and WhatsApps that they're getting from customers keep it hanging up. So you've got an ecosystem of a business that hasn't just built a hierarchy that's about positioning and solutions. Actually, our whole business mantra is keeping in touch with the customer, keep that listening, keep that learning. And yeah, especially for me as an expat, the biggest thing that I do is make sure that I'm talking all the time to my local team members. Every day I learn something new. I either learn something new about customers or I learn something new about the solutions or the environment we're in. It's one of the things I enjoy most in this business. It's been fantastic for that. So I'm constantly evolving myself in how I'm trying to work with the business to drive those solutions, because I'm getting constant feedback. And just yesterday I had a survey done in front of me from 500 of our customers, both those we successfully converted and those that sadly we didn't successfully convert. But the feedback from that and the learnings from that is huge. So we continue to listen and learn.
Listening and learning, and it just goes to show, I think a through line in our conversation so far is really that digitalization is really more than just tech, especially in a market like Indonesia, really about the customers and the relationships that you build with them as well. And so Shipper is also going beyond logistics. In the conversation with Marvin and Agus, they talked about at the time they recently launched Atour.com, you know, helping SMEs get more active in terms of going into digital marketplaces and all of that. And even as Shipper is expanding its ecosystem, you're also seeing a lot more enablers across industries, across market segments appear in the Indonesian landscape, right? So how would you say Shipper really stands out, and how does being rooted in logistics enable it to build a stronger moat compared to the landscape and more sustainable operations down the line?
We have a unique position in that we see where people ship. We've got a huge number of people already utilizing our warehousing, our sales force, and our account management team talk to customers all the time. So our exposure to the sellers in Indonesia, obviously we also work in other segments outside of e-commerce, a lot of traditional industries as well. But within that e-commerce sector, we have a huge amount of exposure to them. Obviously my background and the relationships I've also brought in from being in the retail spectrum within Indonesia's helped as well. And I brought some of the understanding of their needs. And we also partner with a lot of of other e-commerce and they do businesses already. So what was taken from that is the difficult thing is how to grow at speed when the experience still is lacking in market. So the opportunities within marketplaces from understanding how to best create a product name or how to drive SEO or how to drive digital marketing or how to localize services, which is one of the things that I think really misses the niche as a whole. There is a real Jakarta-centric focus in e-commerce as a whole. But what we've been looking at is so speaking to everybody, gathering the needs, gathering the requirements, working on now how can we build more quicker. And the more that we're building perhaps isn't the same as anybody else. It's a little bit more based on what we have heard. I think we have our ear to the ground better than many of those e-commerce enablements, especially as we're in Indonesia, many are outside of the territory. And those within it are often very technology-led. We're a technology-led business, but we're a technology-led business that's actually always managed the core of doing the dirty, if you like, moving the goods around. And that relationship we've already built and the hearings we constantly have is enabling us to probably build a slightly unique approach. But definitely that e-commerce enablement is key, but also learning across industries. I think many businesses that are in e-commerce only learn about one way of doing things. And when you have everything from automotive to F&B, every one of those industries brings great learnings across, and they bring learnings in how to do things, learnings in practices, learnings in how to better build the technology. So you've been building a forecasting tool for our B2B customers, but actually that forecasting tool is perfect for helping small sellers work out when they're going to be out of stock and probably they should top up with. So, you know, leveraging tools across technologies from different use cases is something that we're probably a little bit uniquely empowered to do.
I think one thing that we're definitely seeing is eventually we're going to have these like full stack, all encompassing sort of enabler software platforms for Indonesian commerce. And certainly Shipr is heading towards that direction, building on top of its logistics network. What do you think is the biggest challenge moving forward for Shipr, and how do you see the company overcoming that in the next few years?
I don't think there's any huge specific challenges. I think there's always a desire to be fast. That's an Indonesian desire as entrepreneurs here. Everybody wants everything now. It's a cultural thing. So I think that building at speed, also finding the right quality engineers to build the best tools, keeping it easy, keeping it clean, keeping it simple. I think there's going to be a big change in the e-commerce market in the region as well. We clearly have a lot more growth to come, and that would come more in brand.com, social commerce, TikTok's obviously starting to boom. I'm sure Line will end up out here. And WhatsApp sales are still on the increase as well. So I think that what we've got is a big space outside of the marketplaces. And I think those spaces will continue to grow as people to own their brand more and value their own customers more. So because how do you help in that? It's your full stack technology you talked about. Something we talk about an awful lot. Probably our challenge there is to pick the right partners and to pick the right things that we build. So there's a lot of tools that are out there that are probably too complex or too over the top for what users need. So keep things simple, build what people need rather than what you could charge more for. We're not about charging for stuff that people don't need. We want to build the right technology for the right users. And not reinventing the wheel. If somebody's already done something really well and we could partner with them and collaborate with them, let's do that. But where we think we can bring some unique value, let's put that in place. We're trying to work our way through how we can provide a e-commerce enablement solution that allows the users themselves to be doing the core piece of the work, but actually really guide them through the whole service. So make it easy to sign up and build websites or to build social selling approaches, make it easy for them to direct consumers, make it easy for them. For us, I think it's quite important is where possible to be Indonesia-centric. We are an Indonesian company. We're very proud of being an Indonesian company. And there's a lot of great Indonesian technology businesses here. Partnership with them is critical.
And you brought up another interesting point, which is as you're being customer-centric, and a lot of these businesses, especially the SMEs, Shipr may actually be their first encounter with a digital enabler or a digital tool. And so there's a lot of education, I guess, involved in making sure that they're, you know, guided into how to best make use of what Shipr has to offer. So what is your mindset on that whole education piece and guiding? Like how hands-on should an enabler be when it comes to these kinds of things?
That's probably where I would say we differentiated our mindset to some of the existing businesses out there. You know, you can go onto a website, you can buy some software, and here's a help guide. We're definitely taking our journey in a very different direction. that, you know, we've not been that in logistics, the supply chain. We don't want to be that in e-commerce enablement either. We want to be somebody that's there through webinars, through direct support. We're just about to offer a whole host of 360-degree e-commerce reviews for customers. We're going to do for a bunch of our existing customers free of charge, so we can give them a true review of how have you set up your marketing, if they've got a brand.com or social selling, how are they doing that, and give them some true help on that. I think there's a way to bring best practice learnings from what experiences we have in the business, relay them, replay that out without having to do the job for somebody to still run their store. But through a regular basis of review and training, we do a huge number of webinars, a huge number of events. We are very engaged with our community. Our community is huge. And the thing that view of being continually talking, which is part of our way of learning. We talked about the Atour product. We've just done a whole load of video guides on top of that. But actually, our next step is with the people we have on board is going to be actually offering them some very distinct help in how can we help them grow their sales. One of the things that I don't see across most e-commerce enablement providers, which are mostly software-based, is they don't spend enough time helping people grow. And I came to Indonesia to help this economy grow and to really champion the local businesses here. And Ship is very passionate about that. I'm very passionate about that. So there's a great alignment there. But we've got to do that by helping train and educate. And that's something that we have a very big team already doing. We do it very successfully. Our huge numbers attend our events. And the feedback and follow-up from that just needs to continue to improve. So our approach is, if we've got somebody in there selling 100 orders a day, how do we get them to 200? But if you just say, here's software, that doesn't get you to 200. You've got to be willing to come and do some service that's on top of that and is helping them review their performance, review how they're selling, perhaps sharing them, hey, do you know other sellers that sell similar products? You are finding it really successful in another city. Maybe you should open up to that as well.
Yeah, it is definitely going a level beyond just asking, do you need help with your logistics, to how can we help you with your end North Star metric, right? Or, you know, to get to more customers, which may not just be limited to a logistics kind of value add, right? And so before we head into a rapid fire round, I also wanted to talk about being an expat and then coming into Indonesia, leading very much an Indonesia-centric organization, as you described. How would you describe your leadership approach here in the market, and how is it compared to being led other organizations in other markets?
Ultimately, people are very similar all around the world. Key thing is everybody's slightly culturally different, but I think every individual is different. We're all unique in our ways. So my approach to leadership is definitely being, you know, as an expat coming into a country, I definitely was certainly not coming in and going, hey, here's the best practices from all over the world. Let's implement them. I think you spend a lot more time learning about what's been done well in Indonesia, how to motivate people, where decision-making likes to sit, how matrices work within a business, how the culture works in the business. So having worked in two businesses now, I can tell you the two businesses work very differently. Not one size fits all in anything you do in life. But you come to a country like Indonesia, you can see that people are incredibly hardworking, very loyal, passionate about learning, want to do things fast, want to do things well. And the sense of ownership here is incredibly high. People really do take pride in what they do in their team and in their business. It makes it a lot easier as a leader, actually. It just means you've got this to make sure that you are sharing, that you are guiding, that you are mentoring, and you're really helping the business understand where that North Star is that you just talked about. You know, what is our North Star? How do you make sure that the teams are all sharing in the right way, and how do you make sure that vision that we have for two great founders is really rolled out and that value set through the business? So it probably one of the easiest countries to actually get in. That's the thing. The culture here is built around pride and a lot of humility. I mean, this is not a country you come to and hit a lot of egos and a lot of politics in business. This is a country where people are going, how can we achieve that together? And that makes it much easier. So as long as you build the right frameworks and build out the right structures, then it's pretty easy to build here, I think.
That's an interesting observation, and definitely the right time to be in Indonesia with all the entrepreneurial energy towards, you know, rebuilding this digital economy for the country. But on that note, you know, we'd love to get into the most important part of our podcast, which is the rapid fire round. So some really quick questions. You can just give some short and sweet answers. First one is, what are the top three traits of a great chief customer officer?
Definitely to listen and learn from customers, colleagues, keep things simple, deliver easy-to-use solutions. And for me, probably the first one is, don't try to be everything to everybody. Common mistake made by many. Focus on delivering for your customer.
Even as we talk about full-stack platforms and whatnot, it's still very much customer focused and can't be fully like
100%. We're not adding features that people don't need. Focus on what our customers need. We don't sell to every customer in the world. We sell to Indonesia. We sell to a group of customers with Indonesia. I'd love to sell to all 70, 80 million businesses.
why not?
I can recruit the extra salespeople, no problem. So if everybody wants to come, we'll service the whole country, but we're not servicing 80 million customers, sadly. The second you drive everybody, you start building lots of redundant stuff. And you lose your direction. We have a direction. We know who we want to enable, what we want to deliver. So it's really important.
What's your favorite book, podcast, or resource to learn about commerce or retail?
So I love a guy called Ken Blanchard. He did Little Minute Manager. And my favorite book of his is Raving Fans. It's about customer service. You won't be surprised to hear it in the context of this conversation.
Right.
He's a really good reminder. Very Americanized, which I don't fully enjoy reading it, but it's a really good reminder of how to keep things simple and what's important. And so he's got a huge suite of books, but my favorite two are 1 Minute Manager. One of his first at Raving Fans.
Mm-hmm. We'll link Ken Blanchard's books and the transcript in case anyone wants to check that out. What digital technology or innovation excites you the most today, apart from what you're working on in Shipper?
AI technology and WhatsApp and line selling. I think there's a huge opportunity for AI learning in social selling.
Conversational AI, right?
AI, it's something that I've worked on in my previous role and it really did excite me there. And I think that if it could be really got right, and it can be properly based around machine learning as well as the AI element, I think that it's an exciting, especially in a market like this. When I ask most customers, you know, what do you want to do? How can I make e-commerce more exciting for you? They've said to me, make it easier for me to buy on WhatsApp, make it easier on your website. And then I said, how do you like to look at the products? They said, go to the website. It's going, okay, so if you want WhatsApp, we link to the website. So you need both. But I think that the more that can be AI driven, the better. Because I think that when people want to talk on WhatsApp at midnight, sadly, most sellers are offline. AI could help fill that gap.
Definitely AI in the region is definitely heading in that direction. We're seeing a lot more conversational AI companies pop up in the market. Advice for, you know, global professionals that, like yourself, who are looking to plant roots and play a leadership role in one of Indonesia's, you know, many startups in the ecosystem.
My advice to anybody who's looking to come to Indonesia is every society is different. Take your time to learn about it. Learn about the culture, learn about the people. Here, people in entrepreneurial, hard work, and loyal, as I mentioned, but you can just come here and put best practice in. What you have to do is come, learn, and then apply the right best practice in the right way and build on the localized benefits. There's so many things that are done better in the market here than elsewhere in the world, and don't think that everything's better from elsewhere. So if you're coming into Indonesia, come in, you learn about it, you take the best parts of Indonesia, and there are many of them, and then transform those best practices to fit this market, not just go one size fits all, this is what we should do, Pierre. If anybody come there who does that, if they are lucky enough to come to Indonesia, it's a great place to be.
Sometimes the grass is greener in the local market. What's your most memorable class or course that you've taken, or maybe even taught, if you have taught classes or courses before? Yeah.
The very best classes, I've experienced this a few times when I've been a coach. I've done quite a lot of coaching through my career. I particularly enjoy coaching customer service team lessons. So when you get together with a customer service team, you talk about how to empower them and how to get them working better. The learnings you get back from face-to-face time with customer service teams, especially when they're allowed to come away from the phone, to come away from the email or chat and just share when you've opened up their minds, you learn so much. I mean, it's just eye-opening. Pretty much every time I've done a major session with customer service team, I'm left with probably 20 actions I need to go and do, either changing a customer offering or in changing and improving the way that we relate to our customers. So my favorite things to do, I haven't done one at Shipper yet, looking forward to our new training facility. So I'm really looking forward to going and doing a session with the people on the front line.
And, you know, Shipper is very, I see all the photos on LinkedIn about all the training sessions that you guys have. Should be exciting for you to pull your first one. And finally, what's your favorite activity to de-stress or, you know, take care of your mental health or do self-care?
I am a quiet time alone with my wife. So I think life, you know, if you've got a fantastic partner, it's a great place to be. She allows me to recharge my batteries, take my mind off work. I'm a very committed guy. My mind's always buzzing. So to be able to shut down and not think about work for a while means that I recharge my batteries and really come back. So it is quiet time watching a movie, doing a Netflix fest of a series in the day. It's something that really is my favorite. I really like that quiet time away from the hustle and bustle of work.
So on that note, thank you so much, Craig, for coming on our show, coming on call with us at Insignia, and, you know, really shedding more light on Shipper as a company. Of course, we've had many calls with many leaders in Shipper, but it's obviously a different perspective, you know, hearing from the customer service, customer-centric side of things, and also bringing in, you know, your expertise from having, as you mentioned, 25 years in retail and commerce. And so really excited to see the waves that you'll be making in Shipper, and as there's a lot more to come. So really excited to hear more down the line. In the meantime, if you want to connect with Craig, we'll link his LinkedIn in the podcast description.
We're hiring for a huge number of roles at the moment, particularly around the customer centricity, mm-hmm. service centricity. So if there's anybody out there with great knowledge of the carrier market, warehousing, just all e-commerce. So if there's anybody out there who is run a business, run their own websites, run their own setup, I'm looking for some, you know, some really skilled heads in that space as well. So
right. All
these opportunities, a growing business, a lot to do and a lot of customers to serve. So always looking for additional heads.
And Shipper has had a tradition or history of hiring customers as well. So if you're an e-commerce seller and you're frustrated with your own experience and want to change things from within, then Shipper is definitely the place to check things out. Thanks again for coming on call, Craig. Hope to have you on in a future episode down the line.
Look forward to it. Thanks very much, Paolo. Have a great day.
Stay on the line with us for more conversations with our founders and investors in the region. Until our next call, I am Paolo Aquino, and this has been On Call with Insignia Ventures.